And on the line now, I have editor of the Northside People, Padraig Conlon. Good afternoon, Padraig.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the call. The one that jumps out at me here is one by your colleague, Gary Ibbotson, and about the Moore Street alternative plan to be presented to DCC planners. This has been going on for a while now as well.
Yeah, this has been going on for a good while. So I thought for some UK... property company released plans, I think it must be nearly a year ago, wasn't it now, for the Moore Street area. Now, a group called the Moore Street Preservation Trust and 1916 relatives, they haven't been happy with the plan so far. So they're set to present an alternative plan for the street today, the civic offices in Wood Quay. They say they're doing this because planners have decided to seek further information on Hammerson's planning application. A spokesperson for the Moore Street Preservation Trust, James Connolly Hearn, said that there's a general agreement the area has to be protected and preserved, and that the trust plan is the only plan of general support across the board. Now, he's making the point as well that the only plan that meets all the recommendations of the advisory group of the objectives of the Dublin Development Plan and European guidelines and charters on protection of historic buildings and sites. So, you know, I suppose any, you know, we've had a lot of talk in the last few weeks about, you know, the culture of Dublin seems to be the culture and soul of Dublin is being torn out. So, you know, you would hope here that proper decision in a way that's in keeping with the, you know, the massive history associated with it.
Yeah, hopefully it does get started. Yeah, as you said, there's a lot of history there involved. I'm looking at another one here now. Man jailed for assisting his wife in management of a massage parlour. I take it just wasn't a massage parlour.
Yeah, it was a little bit more than the man. He had denied to the Gardaí that he'd any knowledge that sexual acts were being carried out at the massage parlour, which was managed by his wife. But the jury yesterday weren't convinced, and they convicted him for assisting in the management of a brothel at a Jasmine Massage Parlour, Dorset Street Lower, on dates between January 2016 and July 2017. Now he pleaded not guilty, but the jury decided that he was. He was sentenced 18 months, but the final 16 were suspended on strict conditions. Now, I believe his wife has already been convicted, so I suppose if you aid and abet in a crime, I suppose he can't really complain too much, but that one there got a bit of attention online yesterday because of the headline, which I'll not repeat on the radio at this hour of the day.
More delays, Padraig. It's crazy. The Trolink.
This is just, and once again, it's a story prior to, you know, in the last few weeks. I remember contacting, there was drip feeding coming out going, it's not gonna happen, you know, on time, it's not gonna have a schedule. They contacted the department transport, no, there was no plans to defer it. So now, in light of a draft paper that came out yesterday from the NTA on the development of, you know, transport within the city for the next 20 years, they said it's not likely that Metrolink is going to be completed within the next decade. Now, obviously, this has led to huge efforts of anger from a lot of local representatives, especially in the north side. The Finglas was supposed to get the Metrolink, and Cabra was supposed to, like, people were saying, you know, Cabra is a traffic bottleneck, whatever, that this Metrolink was going to take away a lot of that. Now that's not going to happen. Local councillor Nolene Riley says this, you know, Ballymun and Finglas, they're so close to the airport, get so far and it comes to transport links, and now this isn't going ahead. We had Duncan Smith comment on yesterday as well. I think there's everybody was commenting on it. But it's very disappointing. So somebody on Twitter posted the plan from 2001 that was supposed to be, finished last year. And like hardly anything on it actually ever came to, apart from the Lewis, like huge lot of projects never saw the light of day. So there's a fear now this could happen again. Obviously, government will say like, oh, we need to do pressing projects first and everything out there. But
it seems to be happening an awful lot, Padraig. Delays in this and delays in that, like the Children's Hospital, for instance, the development on the Oscar Traynor Road, everything seems to get delayed.
It does, yeah. I think maybe the cost of everything as well has probably gone up. It is like this project after project, especially in Dublin, seems to be never seen the light of day, costs escalate go through the roof. We need to have a proper kind of investigation into what's going wrong here. Is too much bureaucracy? Is there too many departments involved in these projects? I don't know, but it's
crazy. And it's like people aren't talking to each other. That, as you said,
Exactly what they're saying as well. I think I was reading that, or maybe it was one of the TDs was saying, apparently 250 million has already been spent on Metrolink. And sorry, on the DART interconnector. 250 million, all on an area, a bit of track has been made, So that's, mind boggling figures,
It's madness. And, there's a huge annoyance out there as well about all these things. We'll move on to two juveniles charged in relation to an incident at Tote Dart Station. Now, this was all over the place. This video was caught on camera, and it was this gang of young fellas, and a poor girl was pushed down the side of the train. It was horrifying.
I think that was it was one of the most shocking things I've seen on social media in a long, long time. That was back in April. I don't think there's anybody in Dublin hasn't seen that video. As you say, there's two young juveniles, two males, they were due in court yesterday in connection with that. Now, as you said, absolutely horrific. Junior didn't you could see one. I don't know whether it was, either of the two young people who were on court, but one had seen throwing a bicycle at a young girl. At a woman who was trying to stop, or just trying to get away from the platform, whatever. And that's the young girl who fell off the track. It was absolutely. You just wonder what the hell was going through somebody's mind,
Imagine the mental effect on that. That'd be terrifying.
I can't imagine that. I've seen a lot more of these kind of incidents around Dublin now. Sadly, over the last month, a lot more on street aggression. Young lads mainly fighting, antisocial behaviour. Seems to be, I don't know what's happened. It's the pandemic. They've kind of taken control of they think they've taken control of the streets or something, but definitely a problem needs to be addressed.
It seemed to skyrocket during the pandemic there. As you say, they seem to go mad altogether.
Yeah, and it's not being at all sensational or something like that. I'm sure everybody from all parts of Dublin could attest to that. You walk around town in the evening, city centre, there's definitely a lot more antisocial behaviour going on.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anything else
the lead story in the paper this week is just more on the Oscar Traynor. You touched on it there yourself, we're getting the mention of it as the lead story. And there was obviously the council meeting last week to defer a decision on it again. So, and then Glenveagh, the developers, made a presentation because a lot of people aren't convinced now that they can deliver it. They had said now it was going to be 5 years before it could be delivered. Now they've come in and said, well, they plan on starting construction at the end of next year. It's not going to be 5 years. They'll do it before 5 years. So,
yeah.
I don't know if everybody's still convinced. I said that the vote on whether to proceed with it was deferred until next month's meeting.
Yeah.
This is just because, you know, last year the first plan was rejected because the developer wanted to sell, was it 50% into the private market, I think, or something like that. This was a big no-no. I think most of the council are united in wanting it for it to be totally either social and affordable, the whole development. So we'll have to watch this space, but I think the council haven't ruled out selling, you know, withdrawing from this deal with Glenveagh and putting the land back on the market again if an agreement can't be reached. And so we'll await that with interest next month.
Yeah, it's good.
But there again, it's a further example of things in this country just taking far too long to see the light of day.
No, I had John Lyons on there a couple of weeks ago talking about different developments, and that was one of them, and the Chiver site, and you can actually hear the frustration in his voice about what's going on, and other councillors as well. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's everybody. Like, there's still Devonny Gardens as well, and there's more issues with that now as well. It's every single development in Chiver. And then, of course, the other argument is people want, why aren't the local authorities building social housing? They already own the land.
Yeah.
But I think it was Owen Keegan himself maybe on record as saying that Dublin City Council don't want to become property developers, but they're not. You know, they're not.
It worked in the past, Patrick.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. They don't want to get involved. I suppose it'd be more work for them, but it doesn't seem to be working this way. It happened at the moment of gifting public land to developers, and then, you know, they'll give you the crumbs from the table back, and a few properties thrown in as well. So it doesn't seem to be a good deal for the taxpayer or for.
No, it's like they're giving these lands to developers. The developers are building houses on them, and then DCC are buying them back off them.
They're not even buying them, they're renting them. For 25 years, they don't even own them at the end. They still say that this is a more prudent way of going about things, and I don't.
No, it's unbelievable.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
It is absolutely, man, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, the football is coming back, the international football.
It is. Stephen Kenny glory era is just about to commence, I think.
Yeah,
tomorrow. We're heading into. I'm holding fingers crossed. Yeah, and I'm hoping that he's turned the corner a bit after a very rough start. How do you feel yourself?
I'm thinking the same, that they seem to have turned the corner. They seem to be playing with confidence, and they're playing good football, and hopefully it's a pity now they're not going to qualify, but for the future, if they give them time, you know.
Absolutely. Definitely, there's definitely been improvement. Now we're hopefully having put the kibosh on it. go out tomorrow and get tanked 4-0.
Ronaldo will score the bleeding hat trick or something.
It was just a pity the other way, because in a way, obviously Portugal is going. If it was the other way around and we had Portugal next, they'd all probably already be through. A bit more, going to be interesting. Yeah, but. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
The next time we're talking, there'll be after winning two matches. So.
Exactly, and it's like, where is that contract?
Where's my extension?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Padraig, thanks very much for taking the call. As always,
no
it's
problem,
always very interesting to talk to you. So hopefully next time we're talking, we'll be talking about two great Irish wins.
Good so far. Okay. Enjoy, hopefully, fingers crossed, John.
Yeah, okay. Listen, thanks, Padraig. Good luck.
Thanks for having me. All the best.
Good luck.
And you, bye.
Right, that's Padraig Conlon there, editor of...